What's up, ladies? Welcome to the Urban Christian Woman podcast, where we seek to restore women with God's truth for their everyday lives. I'm Tashiba Oliver.
And I'm Leah Ross, and we're your hosts. This season, we've got some exciting things in store. So join us as we study God's word, celebrate women living faithfully on mission, and dive into cultural issues through a biblical lens. You ready, Tashiba?
Girl, yeah, I'm ready.
All right, let's go.
Hey, ladies, and welcome back to our final installment of Origin Story around our womanhood series, Creating Better Narratives. Leah and I are delighted to be discussing today our final theme of the Origin Story. Leah, what are we discussing this day?
Restoration. Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about what it means to see God restore us as women, and what we can learn about restoration as a part of our whole origin story as women. So I'm super excited for just closing out this series in this way. It's a very intentional and beautiful look at just the fulfillment of God's perfect plan for us as women. So
Yeah, so we're going to be in Revelation 21, 1 through 8. We're going to jump to Revelation 21, 22 through 27. And then we're going to jump to Revelation 22, 1 through 5. So open your Bibles.
You want me to read it?
Yes, please, Leah.
Okay, here we go. This is Revelation 21, starting in verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride and adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more because the previous things have passed away. Then the one seated on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. He also said, write, because these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will freely give to the thirsty from the spring of the water of life. The one who conquers will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowards, faithless, detestable, murderers, sexual, immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their share will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. So now in 22 to 27, he says, I did not see a temple in it, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, because the glory of God illuminates it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never close by day, because it will never be night there. They will bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those written in the Lamb's book of life. Then he showed me the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the city's main street. The tree of life was on each side of the river, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations, and there will no longer be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Night will be no more. People will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, because the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The Amen. Word of the Lord.
Amen. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. So, ladies, we are we're at the finale. We're at the finale of what is taking place in Scripture. And everything that has been written from Genesis to Jude has been written through our origin story lens of creation, fall, redemption. And it's been on repeat, right? Mm-hmm. Like people are God's image bearers, are fulfilling commissioned work that God has given his people to do. And because of the fall in Genesis 3, people are still sinning and are having to provide sacrifices. And then Jesus comes. Jesus is our ultimate sacrifice, but it's still on repeat. Redeemed positionally for mm-hmm. those who are in Christ, mm-hmm. but we still have the stain of sin carrying with us, and we are not reigning with our triune God completely. And so though it's been known what will happen after Jesus's ascension into heaven, the broken record is still replaying the same song. And so here in Revelation, John gives this prophetic vision and account of what we can look forward to for those who are in Christ, who are united with Christ. And so by the time we get to chapter one of what we just read and going into that first part of 22, it's very clear that we're not just reading something new, but we are hearing what has been on replay, eventually having a finale. And so the curse being reversed is what some would say of Revelation 21. So what was lost in fellowship in the garden is restored, and it is made better because it's been restored with the mission of the cultural mandate and the commissioning being fully fulfilled. And so it's not just Adam and Eve experiencing God's uninterrupted presence, but women and men from every nation, every tribe, every tongue mm-hmm. with God, with their image bearing fully restored. And so,
yeah. And I want to say too, like it is, and I think that's what I love about this fulfillment is that it's essentially an expansion of what was good that we saw in the garden, right? What was good in the garden is now not only restored, but expanded, right? Because it's not just the two original human beings, but it's a mixed multitude, like Exodus talks about, right?
Yes,
like
all
people mm-hmm. from all nations, men and women, in God's unhindered and uninterrupted presence forever. So yeah. That to me is like the ultimate fulfillment and restoration picture that we get from these passages.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. Leah, what truths about woman's restoration do we see from Revelation 21?
Yeah. So, I mean, ultimately what started in the garden, right? Under with God and in his authority, but continued with consequence because of humankind's disobedience. Like, and we see, like you said, the trajectory that caused death and decay that Christ then intervenes and restores. Ultimately, we see the fulfillment of this promise when he ascended that he would come again. We see that happening, right? Mm-hmm. And so when Christ comes again, he's coming not just to sort of check in or but like he's coming with a hand of completion to fulfill this promise that all will be made new and yeah. ultimately to reverse this curse that was experienced in the garden. And for us as women, I think this has huge implications that God is faithful. Mm-hmm. He is true. And what we rest our hope in, like mm-hmm. is not just some sort of, abstract hope, but that he promises to fulfill it. And that promise, the picture that we get in Revelation, this vision that John gets, yeah. Does not disappoint, right?
Yeah.
He gives us a new beginning, and that is right on brand with his character of the living and faithful God who desires to, who from the beginning desired yeah. to dwell with us, and yeah. he will do it. He yeah. will do it. He will dwell with us. Don't matter how much we mess up,
that's
he
right.
will do it. He will dwell with his people, and we see that right here. And so...
Yeah, I love the language in verse 5. you know, when I was reading this, as you're talking about it, verse five is affirming this. And the one who is speaking in verse five is Jesus. It says, then the one seated on the throne, look, I am making everything new. He also said, write these words, write, because these words are faithful and true. And so Jesus saying these very words is making known that his character, what he, his Father, and the Spirit that has lived within us has promised is true, because their character is faithful. Mm-hmm. Their character is true. In some translations, I think it says faithful. In some other translations, it says trustworthy. Mm-hmm. And God's trustworthiness is being fully fulfilled in the story of creation, the story of where he is writing all of this, the story of his hand of mercy and grace and sacrifice. And so, girl, you're spot on with that. And so for us as women, you know, I think one of the things that we can really see of what this means for our lives is that where we are separated from the triune God, God is not just coming to us one time like he has done in the scriptures, right? During the time of the kings and the patriarchs, when all this injustice was going on, when women were being oppressed, like he's not just coming in and enacting justice or showing mercy to people. But what he's doing is he's coming to us and he's going to remain forever with us.
Mm-hmm.
And his presence cannot dwell in an unclean space. Mm-hmm. So it is showing we are dwelling with him forever in perfection.
Yeah.
In holiness.
Yeah.
In that set apartness that we have access to when we are in there. And in him when we are in Christ as well. So one, we get to remain with him forever. Two, that the distortions that we see that we have seen all throughout scripture, as well as, you know, in the text where we're talking about the pain, the suffering, the crying, the tears, we'll get more into that. Like those are now non-existent.
Yeah.
Where there were distortions, everything has been made clear. Where there is death, it is non-existent. Mm-hmm. Where there's decay of the mind, the emotions, and the will, that will be no more. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
The goodness of God is dwelling perfectly with he and us. It is one. We are with our husband and he is with his bride.
Yeah, that's so good. Because I feel like we unpacked so much in the episode of the fall, like in sin.
I know.
And how those distortions are just so like, just gnarly. I don't even know what I want to say, you know?
Yeah, they're heinous. They're heinous. They're heinous.
They're heinous. And in light of that and how deeply the beautiful image of womanhood, right? This eulogy to the beauty of God is distorted, like to know that, no, that is going to be eradicated. Somebody better shout on that.
I mean, Cass, give us a Hammond B3 organ, okay? Editor, because I mean, the word eradicated alone. Mm.
Hallelujah.
In my body, in my embodied self.
Yes.
Makes me want to shout.
Yes. Okay. And all the frailty and just pain and suffering that we experience as women will be eradicated. The specific things like your cramps, right? Like the pain of childbirth, right?
Ooh,
like
the
pain of a hysterectomy when you can't have more babies. You know what I'm saying?
The pain of breast cancer.
Right?
The pain of breast cancer.
Oh,
come on.
The loneliness of isolation from your family. Like all of those things eradicated?
You better say that, honey.
Amen.
Hallelujah and amen.
Hey, ladies. Have you heard of the Urban Woman Club yet? The Urban Woman Club is an online giving club through the Urban Christian Woman designed to plan for the long-term reach of more urban women, restoring them with God's truth for everyday life.
This community aligns with our needs, and while we're grateful for annual donations, we invite you to consider becoming a monthly committed partner at one of the levels and embark with us on a lasting journey. Your monthly support, starting even at a base level of $7, can consistently transform lives. Plus, by becoming a monthly partner, you're not just supporting a cause by seeking restoration in urban women's lives, you're joining a community that gives back to you and to other women in urban contexts. Our monthly partners will enjoy exclusive perks, including a free monthly downloadable phone background, and you can elevate your tech with a touch of encouragement specially crafted just for you. You can go to theurbanchristianwoman.com, click on monthly giving, and find more about the Urban Woman Club.
Can we also just talk about how dope it is that Jesus is never not talking about somebody who thirsty, come get a drink of water. Okay. It ain't just for the woman at the well. He like, nope, still using this. Still using the analogy. John is allowing us to see that where we are continuously thirsty as well, longing for Christ.
Longing
for Christ, coming back to the well for water daily. Christ is going to give us freely this spring. Girl, when I said, let me just go ahead and visualize.
Yes.
My great high priest and shepherd, just like this gorgeous spring of water, just constantly fresh water flowing. Okay. Life giving. Okay. Yeah. I was like, my goodness, the picture is everything that your heart longs for be satisfied. That's the bottom line. So everything that distorts our womanhood will be destroyed. And if we are united with Christ, we will witness the end of every lie, every attack against our fellowship with God, every idol that has robbed women of their adoration of God alone. It will be destroyed. Eradicated.
I mean, if we look back at just the, I think in 21 verse 8, that list of like cowards, faithless, detestable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their share will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. And we maybe feel uncomfortable with that because it might be a verse that's been yielded in some fire and brimstone spaces, right? But like what I find comfort and encouragement in is, as a woman, we can all identify with the things inside of us and outside of us that have oppressed us. And to know that our good God, our creator, has promised to destroy those things in a fire,
girl,
that consumes, right?
And why
everything that distracts and robs me from my adoration of my creator, right? That I'm so frail and I get caught up in. He's like, let me take that away so you can see me face to face forever.
That's right. And why does he do that? Because what we were just saying, God is faithful and true. God is not going to counteract who his very nature is. And all what we've seen through scripture is that God does respond out of his justice. And so even with the things that are sinful that we see in the scriptures, of the grief, the crying, all this oppression that we're talking about, all of that, he says, I still have to deal with that and put it away. Because I'm still holy.
Yes.
And I'm still God.
Yes.
And I'm still just.
Because
he's faithful and true. And what comfort, you know, what comfort does that give us who are in Christ? And also, what desire does it place within us for our brothers and sisters who are image bearers, for me, who don't know Christ?
I mean, put me in, coach. Let me say this, okay? Let me say
this. You're it. Virtually.
Because of the Lamb of God, right? That when we talked in the last episode about redemption, the fact that his mark is over us, that what is going to be destroyed, right? Like I said, in us and around us,
yeah,
will not actually destroy us. We get to be preserved and actually purified because we're his bride, right? So he's going to take it away in us. Mm-hmm. He's going to take it away around us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really good, because that's an invitation into... So I would say that's the testimony to the woman in Christ, mm-hmm. right? That you as God has created you will be Amen. Preserved even as he destroys everything in and around us that is detestable to him. Okay.
Amen.
So
Amen.
That should be a good thing, because I want to be a pure bride.
That's right? another before, shout. That's another
before
shout.
The Lord.
That's a, wa- I that's mean, a the wave offering. Is, that's a wave offering.
That's a wave offering. All right. Let me take a shot of this. I think the other thing is, that all of us, like you said, we all have a constant thirst, right? That Christ fulfills in this ever-flowing river of life, this stream, this mm-hmm. deep, deep well.
Yeah.
And so for those who don't know Christ yet, women who are not yet identified with him, maybe that's the call into like the things that are trapping you, that you're trying to find fulfillment in, but are ultimately trapping you and don't satisfy. Like, it's an invitation into one being who you truly are meant to be.
Amen.
And allowing someone else to deal with that other stuff, right? Like, he has offered to deal with that other stuff.
Amen.
And the only way to find that is to find ourselves in him.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I'm like, okay, so that... My desire, right? My heart, yeah, is that would be an invitation, not a condemnation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So that, I guess that's what I would say.
Yeah. And it is very for us in a Western culture that's steeped in a push away, at times an apathy, at times an escape. Mm-hmm. We're seeking to escape from things. The reality of judgment, it feels very heavy. And I know that some of our listeners, it has been weaponized mm-hmm. for the sake of fear. And I want to say that all of scripture is true, though. And so to be able to feel the weight of the judgment of God, because he is just, and know that even what we are able to see and revealed in scripture is that invitation. It yeah. is that placing of the groaning and longing that we're going to be talking about here as we move forward, to invite, mm-hmm. it's an invitation to either look towards the hope of salvation, mm-hmm. where all things will be made new for those who are in Christ. Mm-hmm. And also it's an invitation for those who don't know him to see Christ,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, as the one who satisfies.
Yeah.
And so it is that way. It should make us feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not excited about that, because I do have family and friends and neighbors who are not in Christ.
That's right.
And because I don't know the time or the hour, I don't live in fear, but I live with an intentionality.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that pushes us towards, how should this frame our lives, Leah, as we sit with the tension of this text, with the beauty of mm-hmm. all that is to come, you know, because some mm-hmm. of us may have been in Christian spaces where it's like, well, I mean, I'm saved, so I'm good, and me mm-hmm. and mine is good. And so mm-hmm. I don't need to worry about what's around me,
because
mm-hmm. my yeah. little bubble is solid.
Right. Either that, or we're not going to talk about judgment or anything like that, because it makes me a little squirmy and I don't really yeah. want to think about it. And there's a tension between those two spaces. But I think maybe where we can press into and how it frames our lives.
Amen.
Is that there is a excitement about what God is going to do, and an urgency about inviting people into hope and life in Christ.
Amen.
And that in and of itself should shift us away from being too comfortable right now.
Ooh.
And getting too just like, all right, you know, like
come on,
life in Christ means I'm styling. My life is together. I got everything.
I'm living my best life. I'm living my best life.
Mm-hmm. Right. My house is cute. Right. Like that is not, that's not the hope of the gospel. The hope of the gospel is not a beautiful life right now. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. It's not. Because if that's the hope of the gospel, then the gospel is not powerful enough for our sisters in poverty or in any margin or globally, right?
Mm-hmm. That ain't the hope of the gospel. Our sisters who are immigrants, refugees.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, amen.
Is that the hope of the gospel in Ukraine? You know what I'm saying? Is that the hope of the gospel?
Palestine.
Right.
Sudan right now as 15,000 are being muted. Come on. I'll talk about it, honey. Yes.
So it's not. So the hope is not in the comforts or in a good life right now, but our hope is that ultimately the God who created perfect beauty in a world with no pain wants to restore that reality to us, and we're invited into us it. And the only way in is life in Christ. So we can set off this hype of everything right now.
Yeah.
Is my best life in Christ? Because it's not.
And
best
we also
life in Christ is to come.
Yeah. And we also don't have to be these self, women who are trying to create narratives in our lives where we are thinking too low of ourselves or our stations as well. We can contently be grateful for what God has given us, but keeping in mind that it pales in comparison to our eternal promise. And so this should frame our lives where we have a gratitude for what God has done, is doing, where he has placed us, and yet saying it pales in comparison to our eternal promise because God is most glorious. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have to ask ourselves, do we see the things that can sort of frame or define us on this side as our comfort and hope, or are we looking at God as most glorious, where we see him with a longing, where we're longing for his presence, we're longing for what he is doing. And so I think that definitely is seeking to push us towards not a self-sabotaging, like constant negative space either, as women, but it's inviting us to sort of say, no, you contently rejoice in what he has given and still know that it pales in comparison.
Ladies, if you're enjoying the ministry and content of the Urban Christian Woman, would you take a minute to write a review and give us a rating on iTunes? Our goal is to get truth into the hands of urban women. You can help us by leaving even a one-sentence review and some stars. This simple act will help increase our visibility for more women to find this podcast and resources to help equip them in their everyday lives. So girl, what you waiting for? Just go ahead and do it right now.
And if you haven't yet, join our community on social media. You can find us on Instagram at The Urban Christian Woman, Facebook, The Urban Christian Woman, and on our website, which is theurbanchristianwoman.com.
How does this impact our lives? We talked about how it frames our lives.
Yeah.
How does it impact our lives?
So we, I think that there's three things that you highlighted earlier. And I think that this is really good as we were talking and preparing, that our lives should be eager, intentional, and expectant. Let's just go into those, right? Because I think when we think about this hope of restoration impacting us with an eagerness, we kind of already talked about that, right? When we see the brokenness, this groaning of creation, it stirs in us. If we're in Christ particularly, and maybe even if you're not, like, right, it stirs in us this like longing to be it set free, this longing to see it be set free. And we're also seeing, like, he's so kind to give us these glimpses of glory, right? So in a moment where you see something as it should be, is a glimpse of glory, right? Whether that's womanhood as it should be, whether that's relationships between men and women as it should be, whether that's the body of Christ honoring women as image bearers as it should be.
Yeah.
These are these glimpses, right? That pulled that curtain that we see, and we can sort of get, we can have an eagerness about what is to come because we're getting either, you know, this sense of like, oh, I'm so far from what is, and that makes me think about what is, or you see, oh, I get a glimpse or a slight picture of what is, and that makes me want more. Does that make sense?
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
I think that's kind of where I'm at with eager. But what about intentional? How do you feel about like what is the intentionality?
Yeah, the intentionality
that it impacts our lives.
Yeah, the intentionality is because we're created in God's image and God gave us our bodies. He's going to redeem our bodies. When he comes back, amen, somebody, he's coming back with our bodies. Okay. Our bodies are going to be made new.
Say it again.
Our bodies are going to be made new. And so that means that God does care about our bodies and we should care and take care of all that our body engages, interacts, and takes in daily. And I mean, in a short, nuggeted, sort of encompassing way, I think this does impact our relationships. It impacts the things that we have as roles. It impacts the things that we have as responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And so we don't go move about our day-to-day with apathy, but we move about it with intentionality because He has made us in his image and he's coming back and he wants us to use our bodies.
Yeah.
Even we see that in the family of God when we look in the New Testament, right? He gives these analogies are given about the hands and the feet and the eyes. And you know, like he cares about our bodies. And so our bodies are not these things that we worship, but they are things that we intentionally steward and they interact with people. They interact with work. They interact with all the things that he has placed within us artistically, creatively, intellectually, spiritually, emotionally, you know, like to think about ourselves holistically in how God has made us and say, God has given us this and we are called to steward it. I think that there is something very, very beautiful, but also intentional that he's pushing us towards in that.
Yeah.
And then lastly, what I would say is that we should be expected. Yeah. We should be expected to be with him present together. Like it says, he will dwell with us and we will dwell with him. That's the ultimate. It is not this religious practice that we are going towards. We are going towards the person of the triune God.
Right. Yeah.
And so think about that. Like, I think for some of us as women, we're not thinking about that in the context of our day-to-day walk with God, the Father, Son, Spirit.
Of God and the fellowship and the worship that are all together in his presence. I think that there can be, we can I think stir up an expectancy for that because I think, and I'll say this and then I feel like we got to come to a close, girl, because we've been sitting here talking all day.
I know.
But I'll say this, like, I think that when we talk about restoration, I can get sort of this, like, it's sort of this ethereal, like, future thing. It's sort of abstract because it's not here yet. But I think that the beauty of redemption and restoration being a thread that's bound together is that we're acting in those things that are true now because Christ entered into the now. Mm-hmm. And eternal life is not this thing later. Eternal life begins now.
Amen.
And we live it eternally.
Yep.
So I think that is like, okay, let's be expectant by practicing what is true forever in our right now.
And so how do we live that out? If you're like, as we're wrapping this up, how do we live that out? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think that knowing that it's a sure thing that this glory is to come mm-hmm. is what propels me to live in the power of it right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I mm-hmm. think that that's really good. And I think the last thing I would say, I'm sure you got more to say, girl, but I'm gonna say this real quick.
Say that.
Is that I love this, which is why I was like, girl, we gotta have 22 in there as well. Is what does he say?
We always be trying to add extra. Girl, go to 22.
Here we go. Verse 3. There will no longer be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will worship him, for mm-hmm. they will see his face mm-hmm. and his name will be on their foreheads. They will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. If we want to live as women who has literally God's name plastered across our foreheads as our most defining thing. And I think that circles back to why we even wanted to do this whole series in the sense of identity rather than our roles as women, because our identity is ultimately defined by him. And the promise that we get in restoration is that he's like, I'm going to make sure that that is your ultimate and eternal and final identity, that mm-hmm. you are mine, created in beauty and in glory. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give that reality to you. You know, mm-hmm. I'm going to give it to you. That's the most defining thing plastered across your forehead mm-hmm. and that we will see his face. That image bearing is no longer disrupted, mm-hmm. but it's complete. Mm-hmm. And it is the most defining thing about us.
Yeah. And on that note, let me pray for us. Father, we thank you that the truth of who you are, faithful and true, will be accomplished and has been accomplished, not just through your son, Jesus Christ, but will be fulfilled when you return, when Christ returns for us. And so we thank you that it is a sure thing, that glory is coming and will come, that it is not far off, and it doesn't intersect with our everyday lives, Lord God, but it is coming and it is near. And God, we pray that we would not believe the lies of Satan that he seeks to deceive us with around the truth of that it won't come, or that it's deeply far off and that it doesn't intersect with our lives. And so we pray that we would be able to know that you are a sure thing and your glory is coming and will come. And I pray that as the curtain is pulled back, the things that we lean into, that we lean in with the eyes set, our gaze set on the eternity of everything will be removed forever. And that you're just inviting us to live as women who have your name across our foreheads. Mm-hmm. God, that it would be the most defining thing about us, that it would interact with on this side, the relationships that we have, the way that we treat others, the way that we build our friendships, the way that we invite others into our homes for the sake of knowing Jesus and even being invited to conform their lives to the ways of Jesus, and that we can confidently rest in that and also reject the things that will be destroyed in the end. And so, Father, I pray that each woman who listens today will have a greater joy in their womanhood as they seek to live for you and reflect you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Have a blessed day, ladies.